Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in Albany, New York in 2001.
You are among the rare humans who have come to appreciate the contrast of your time and place. Often, your lips say yes. But depending upon the severity of the contrast, sometimes what you offer vibrationally is not quite a match to the word yes that you speak to that. For it seems that what most humans really mean when we say, "Are you appreciating the contrast of your time and place?" is, "Yes, as long as things are going the way I like them to go." Then choosing among the lovely things that are out there, that's just fine with me. But when we ask, "Are you appreciating the contrast of your time and place?" we are not asking, "Do you like the bad things that are happening? And do you applaud them right along with the good things?" What we are asking is, "Are you acknowledging that in this environment of perfect balance and utter freedom, that if that which you adore must be allowed as part of the mix, then that which you don't adore must be allowed as part of the mix?" Sometimes our friends say, "Well, I could hear that and accept it if you would say, that which I adore must be part of the mix. Yes, I like that. And I can also accept that that which others adore must be part of the mix. But I have a hard time accepting that something that I abhor could be something that someone else adores. Aren't horrible things just horrible things?" And we say, there is a case to be made for that, and you keep trying to make it in your world courts. In other words, you keep wanting to sift through the content of your time-space reality. You want to find those things that most can, if not agree on, at least accept. But most of you still want to eradicate from your time-space contrasting balance those things that you believe that most would vote no to. And that's the thing that we're wanting to remind you once again can never be, nor need it ever be, for your joyous, fulfilled experience. When you come to realize that this is a vibrational universe that is attraction-based, and that as you offer a vibration, you match up with vibrations that abound. And as you match up with the vibrations that abound, those matching vibrations manifest in your experience. And that this vibrational universe that is managed by law of attraction is so superbly managed that it is not necessary for anyone to attempt the impossible of controlling the content of the mix. It's like saying, "I'm a chef in a well-stocked kitchen, and my palate prefers this limited variety. In fact, I pretty much only eat one or two things. So there is no need for anything else in the kitchen. So let's throw out all of the things that I would not put into my pie." And we understand the logic in that. You say, "I don't need it, I don't want it, and I prefer if others around me don't eat it too." But what we're wanting you to realize is, in the very throwing out of the ingredients, they come right back. Because this is a universe that is based on attraction. It is all about inclusion, and there is no such thing as getting rid of anything. Because in your very effort to rid yourself of this unwanted thing, you achieve vibrational harmony with it, and it comes more fully into your experience. And so when we say to you, "Are you now appreciating the contrast of your time and place?" We're asking conceptually, not specifically, as you look at those awful things you do not want. We're asking you, can you accept that the universe is big enough for all to create whatever they choose? And what someone else chooses need not affect you unless you are choosing it by your vibrational asking. And many of our friends say, well, Abraham, when you put it that way, I guess I cannot disagree with that. I'm certainly in my human form not wanting to disagree with the laws of the universe, but still, are there not extreme situations where there are those things that are so abhorrent that they deserve scrutiny and attention from the physical format? And we say, whatever you like is appropriate. Whatever you choose to give your attention to is your choice. And whatever you give your attention to will activate a vibration within you. And whatever activates a vibration within you will eventually manifest into your experience. And whatever manifests in your experience is always a perfect vibrational match to your vibration. The way you've been feeling matches your vibration matches the way you've been feeling. And everything is in perfect order when you understand the management of law of attraction. As we talk about the science of deliberate creation, we say to you that there are three parts in the equation. The first is asking, and that applies to every particle of consciousness, whether it is one of the cells in your body or whether it is you in your fully functioning conscious personality. So when you ask, source energy always answers. Step one, step two. You ask, source energy answers. It is the third part of the equation that is most significant for you to understand. And it is really the part that we believe deliberate creating is really about for you. And that is, once you've asked, understanding that source energy always immediately answers, it is your work, in fact, really your only work, to then bring yourself into vibrational harmony with that which you have asked for. Now, when you come to understand that and you have the opportunity to practice it in your own life experience, what you begin to notice is that the content of that which surrounds you, the contrast of the soup that you are living within, automatically stirs within you your determined preferences. You just cannot be this evaluating, focused consciousness with your opinions and preferences and ideologies without acknowledging, hey, this is a good thing. Hey, this is a bad thing. I really don't want that. I really do want this. And it's happening on all levels of your being. So as you are moving around in your environment, desire is naturally emanating from you vibrationally, even if you never spoke a word. You are not asking with your tongue or words. You are asking with the vibration that emanates from you. You might even say you're asking from your preference. You're asking from that which you feel and know and desire. You're asking from your preferences. And so every subtle or bold, not so subtle, preference that emanates from you is immediately read and known by source energy and is instantaneously responded to by the energy that creates worlds, by the energy that certainly has the ability to line up circumstances and events in an orchestrational pattern beyond any physical human description for the fulfillment of any amazing thing that you have conjured or determined in your physical environment. And then the next thing that you must do is be a vibrational match to that which you are asking for. Some of you have heard us say, we've been saying it a lot lately, that you cannot get it wrong and that you will never get it done. And we want to point out to you that the reason that you cannot get it wrong is because you cannot get it done. Because as you stand in contrast and something happens which you abhor, out of that awareness is born within you, no matter what words are uttered from you, whether you utter positive sounding words like, oh boy, wouldn't I really prefer something different from this? Or whether you utter outrageous words of anger and hate as you say, I will not stand for this. I cannot stand for this to happen. It does not matter how positive or negative your words sound. In that contrasting experience, you are giving birth to desire. And Source Energy hears every desire and answers it. So the big question is, what are you going to allow? When we talk about the science of deliberate creation, we've noticed that until you've come to accept that it is a vibrational universe, and until you come to accept that the universe is magnetic in the same way that your radio signals are, when you come to accept that what you think and feel is always a vibrational match to what you get, once you understand that basis of the universe, then everything else falls easily into place. For when you understand that nothing comes to you that you are not vibrationally inviting or allowing, then you are less needing to change conditions around you that you really have no control about in order to be in your happy place. It is a very confounding place for most humans to stand in a sea of contrast, much of which they disapprove of. In fact, much of which they greatly fear, and to recognize they have no control over it. And then they attempt, with their puny vote, or their puny bomb, or their puny influence of a physical action nature, to control the circumstances that surround, hoping that they can hack away, that they can chop off at the knees, that they can just obliterate in some small measure part of the scourge of the planet, so that maybe they can then just relax just a little bit for a little while in their belief that they have gotten rid of something unwanted, and now in the obliteration of the unwanted, they can live in a wanted space. We want so much for you to discover the joyous, delicious freedom in recognizing that you cannot control them, but that you do not have to. That you cannot control what others are choosing to do or experience, but you can control your vibrational participation with it. And once you understand about vibrational participation, then and only are you able to be the absolute allower that you were born to be. When we talk about being an allower, many misunderstand. They think that allower means let someone spit in your face and don't spit back. Or let someone abuse someone that's important to you and just passively do nothing about it. Grin and bear it. Tolerate the injustice. And what we want to say to you is, in allowing, there is no tolerance. Because in the moment of tolerance, there is usually anger or fear or rage, just absence of action about it. While in the art of allowing, it is true there is not the aggressive action, but there is also not the pushing against in the form of anger or fear either. What allowing truly is standing in my physical now and choosing a vibration that allows who I really am to be fully present within me in this moment. So when you are in the state of allowing, your source energy is flowing through you in a non-resisted way. When you are in the state of allowing, you are feeling love or appreciation. You are acknowledging well-being. You are knowing that all is well. You are looking for evidence of that. And you are reverberating your resounding affirmation of well-being in your moment of allowing. So in your moment of fear or in your moment of hate, even though there are circumstances where everyone would agree, including Abraham, that you are utterly justified in your temporarily disconnecting from who you really are, there is no value and nothing good has ever come from that feeling. Some say, well, I'm getting better and better at practicing the art of allowing. I'm discovering more and more that I can choose my own thought, take counsel from my own source energy. The world around me calls me Pollyanna. They say, you have your head in the sand. And you say, I'm getting pretty good at that. But What happens when everybody around me, most of which do not have a clue about the art of allowing, or about the science of deliberate creation, or about the law of attraction, what if they all get worried or frightened about something? Will that resounding global collective consciousness not have devastating effect upon all of us? And could I, as one allower, make any real difference? First, you as one allower can make a big difference, but the only difference that we're wanting you to make is in your own experience. We're not asking you to line up your energy so that you can save the world. The world does not need to be saved. The most significant thing that we're wanting to give to you here is that in a time of great upheaval, where there are billions of people focused simultaneously upon an event that brings forth within them strong determination about something, the most significant thing that we want you to hear is, can you feel the power of the asking that is coming forth from your global community? We've never seen greater asking in a focused period of time ever in your time-space reality. That's a tribute to your mass media, to your interconnectedness. In other words, you collectively sent out a big one. Now what happens is step two takes place. Source energy answers. Some of you have been listening to us for a while, and you're really getting it, that the more you ask, the more source energy flows, the more current there is for you to ride on. This is the energy that creates worlds that you are summoning through this powerfully focused desire. So, here you stand in your powerfully focused experience, personally and collectively, summoning more source energy than ever before. This is good news. Then our friends say, but Abraham, aren't we as a planetary consciousness more disconnected today than usual? And we say, maybe. At least that was true 2 weeks ago. But your resistance globally is not greater than usual. It's just about a different subject. So are you saying that turmoil and contrast and conflict cause a summoning of source energy through the power of desire? But the same contrast which produces the powerful resistance within us at the same time is not equally devastating, proportionate to the power of the desire? And we say, remember, this is an attraction-based universe, and when you ask, it is always answered. The question is, are you going to let it in? So what you will notice, and if you trace back through history that is accessible to you, you will discover that every time there is upheaval, that the thrivers thrive exceedingly well, while those who are not thriving do not thrive exceedingly well. The magnifying glass that is laid over that which you are is more powerful. So whatever it is that you are feeling, whatever it is that you are radiating, whatever the vibrational content of your being, is amplified. So those who are sick are sicker than usual. Those who are weller than usual. Those who are richer than usual. Those who are poorer than usual. Wherever you are vibrating, your level of resistance indicates the degree of the well-being that has been asked for that you allow into your experience. I just wanted to sort of get this out here in the beginning. You've been hearing us offering this for years in hundreds of different examples and ways. But sometimes when you are specifically focused upon a particular event that has stirred particular emotion within you, you can hear the basic laws of the universe in a way that are more meaningful to you. We are eager to talk with you about anything that is important to you. You're ready to begin?
There's a very popular prayer nowadays, and the second line of that prayer goes something like, well, first is, would that you would bless me, and the second line is, and enlarge my territory. And I find that prayer very relevant, because it seems to me that there's something in all of these world events that's happening that's pointing to changing of focus, changing the way that we work together. And so I suppose my question is, really, how to enlarge my territory, the scope of what I can do and be of service, given the immensity of the events that are occurring. It sometimes feels to me that my individual contribution is circumscribed, and I want it to be greater than it is.
Well, when you think about it, when you think about the three steps for the creation of anything, mm-hmm. ask, source energy answers, and then you let in. So if the contrast that you are living is relative to your own house, your own neighborhood, what's happening in your what you would call seemingly small environment, and out of that environment is born a desire which source energy answers, and then you let in, you've achieved the creation of your smaller territory. But if your televisions have made your contrasting environment the entire world, and out of that bigger arena your desire is born, still you have asked your desire, source energy is still answering your desire, and your work is still the same. The answer to whether you are wanting to soothe a feud with a neighbor or bring your own body into balance is the same as if you are wanting your world to experience greater harmony. The scope of your ability to influence and the scope of your ability to create is limited by nothing but your own view. What we think happens, however, is there is usually more belief in your ability to control or contain your own territory. And as your territory gets large in the sense that you are offering it here, sometimes you have a harder time with it. As Esther was driving yesterday, Jerry was doing some editing in the back of the coach. And so Esther was on her own, wailing down the highway, gorgeous day, bright blue skies, beautiful landscape, feeling wonderful. And she began singing God Bless America. And feeling very good as she was singing it. She loves it. She can sing all the harmony parts and does, even though there's no one else singing it with her. And then an idea came to her, and she started going through the alphabet again and again. And she said, God bless America, and sang a verse. And then she said, God bless Bulgaria, and sang a verse. And then she sang, God bless Czechoslovakia, and God bless Denmark, and God bless England. And she went through the entire alphabet singing, because she is recognizing that source energy is appreciating the lives and experience of all, no matter where they are. And the longer she sang, the better she felt. She brought herself to a sort of world peace in spite of what anybody else is doing about it. Yes.
That feels like what you're doing right here.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Right here.
I'm excited about the possibilities of exploring new flavors of connection and discerning and perceiving finer and finer energies, more beautiful experiences of feelings. And my experiences so far have been touching bliss in ways that were really unexpected and kind of strange. One morning I was doing the placemat process, sitting in a sunny window, and I had a really pretty red pen that had silver sparkles in it. And I wrote a word that ended with the letter S, and when I made the letter S, I went into bliss. I want to experience...
Into bliss.
Bliss. Yes.
Yes.
Consciousness is for me now about exploring these finer and finer abilities to perceive the beauty that's already here, and to be willing to expect that joyful exploration.
What we would do if we were standing in your physical shoes is we would say, I understand energy. I interpret it through my physical senses. I'm now interpreting it in lots of other ways through emotion. And now I'm wanting to really explore in an exaggerated way the positive emotions that come from full connection to source energy with as little as resistance as possible.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
Thanks for listening to HayHouseRadio.com.
And now for a HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment taken from Louise Hay's audio CD, 101 Power Thoughts, available at HayHouse.com.
I am at peace. Deep at the center of my being, there is an infinite well of peace. Like a mountain lake, deep and serene. No person, place, or outer chaos can touch me when I am in this space. In this space, I am calm. I think clearly, I receive divine ideas, and I am so peaceful. Divine peace and harmony surround me and dwell in me. I feel tolerance, compassion, and love for all people, myself included.
If you enjoyed this, you can find it and many other books and CDs by Louise Hay at hayhouse.com.
Connect with a world-renowned psychic, Sylvia Brown, all year long in the pages of her life-changing newsletter. The Sylvia Brown newsletter is packed with Sylvia's latest predictions, insights on the other side, relationship tips, life themes, and more. Plus, you can even ask Sylvia a question that she'll answer in the Dear Sylvia column. This is information you can't find anywhere else. Subscribe today, and we'll send you a free Sylvia lecture CD. Visit sylvia.org or call 800-654-5126.
Hi, I'm Michael Neal, host of You Can Have What You Want. Have you signed up for the Hay House newsletter yet?
I'm Crystal Anderson. Have you signed up for the Hay House newsletter yet?
Keep up to date with all your favorite Hay House authors and radio hosts by signing up for the HayHouseRadio.com newsletter. You'll find out what's going on at HayHouseRadio.com and also be eligible for special contests and giveaways. It's free and easy to sign up, so what are you waiting for? Log on today at www.HayHouseRadio.com.
Hi, what can I do for you today?
What if you don't exactly know what you want to do?
Oh my God, I heard that there were still people out there that didn't know exactly what they wanted to do with their life, but I didn't know you were real.
Join Michael Neal for You Can Have What You Want, Thursdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern on HayHouseRadio.com.
What you do if you don't know what to do with your life, I think is the first thing is make it a smaller problem. Figure out what to do with the next 5 minutes.
On Saturday, May 12th, Doreen Virtue presents a two-hour Healing with the Angels webinar. Learn powerful healing methods and how to feel your angel's divine presence in your life. You can join in this internet event no matter where you live in the world for only $11 a ticket. Get your ticket at HayHouseRadio.com or call 1-800-654-5126 to order. 1-800-654-5126.
Thank you for tuning into HayHouseRadio.com. You're listening to the best inspirational talk radio anywhere. We broadcast live, original shows 5 days a week that will give you new ideas for creating an abundant, successful, and joy-filled life. We hope you'll discover a few favorites, bookmark our site, and keep coming back for more of HayHouseRadio.com. Radio for your soul.
Coffee really a health risk? Can you experience the best sex of your life after menopause? Will vitamin D help you lose weight? Discover the latest advice on all the hottest health topics in the Dr. Christiane Northrup newsletter. Today's leading women's health expert, Dr. Christiane Northrup, has the answers you need in the pages of this bi-monthly newsletter. Subscribe now and receive a free CD. Visit drnorthrup.com.
Heal Your Relationships with best-selling authors Gary Zukav and Linda Francis at their new Spiritual Partnership Weekend for Everyone. Gary and Linda will give you all the tools you need to transform every relationship at home, work, and play into loving and fulfilling spiritual partnerships. Call now and save $50. Attend weekend workshops August 18th and 19th in Los Angeles or September 15th and 16th in Washington, D.C. Visit HayHouseEvents.com for details.
Enjoy the loving and fulfilling relationships that you long for. Best-selling authors Gary Zukav and Linda Francis will give you all the tools you need to transform every relationship into spiritual partnerships of ever-increasing joy, co-creativity, vitality, and love at their new Spiritual Partnership for Couples Weekend on August 11th through the 12th in Seattle. Develop spiritual partnerships that will last a lifetime. Ask about special couples discounts. For details, visit HayHouse.com.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
The most significant thing for a parent to contribute to anyone is their own connection and their own stability. And if you don't have that, then you don't have anything to give. So we would say an effective parent is a happy parent. An effective parent is a parent who laughs easily and often and who doesn't take things so seriously. A while back, we were visiting with a mother who was perhaps the holder of the strongest desire to be a perfect parent of anyone we'd ever felt. She really, really, really has been working at getting it right. And she just had constant battle with her little one over seemingly insignificant things, but it was a big part of her life experience. And much of the struggle was over the child at the last minute not being happy with what she was wearing, going back as this little tiny child, wanting to do something different, always making them late, never really happy. And so we said to the mother, well, your child wants to choose. And she said, well, I give her choices. And as we talked with her back and forth, what it really came down to was the dialogue went sort of like, would you like to wear this that you really don't want to wear, or would you like to wear this that you really don't want to wear? In other words, there was such a limitation in the parent's belief about what was appropriate for the child that the choices were too narrow and the child was subsequently very unhappy. Now, this happens. We're not just talking about the clothes that they're being allowed to wear. We're talking about the parent's belief that it's a big bad world out there and they have to protect their child from all of the things that could befall them if they don't limit them in terms of their scope of ideas and beliefs. That is the thing that is the most difficult for parents to grasp. Yesterday, as Jerry and Esther left the last hotel on their way here, as they came out of the hotel, a family was walking in and they were dressed up. They had probably been to church by the way they were dressed. Father was in a suit. He had on a shirt and a tie. And mother had on a dress, and they were very nicely groomed. And with them was walking a little girl who was also nicely dressed. And she had a little red ribbon in her hair and bright red shoes that were five times the size of her feet. They were obviously someone else's shoes, maybe even her mother's. They even had a little high heel on them. And she scuffled across the parking lot. She could not pick her feet up. She dragged her shoes across the parking lot. And as the family walked, none of them let on that there was anything the least bit out of the ordinary happening. And later that day, as Jerry is working on the quarterly journal, he opened his big book of transcriptions to the very story. And he said, isn't this something? These parents let her choose. They were all right with what she chose. And we would say, if we were mentoring or coaching parents, we would say, your greatest work is in coming to trust the appropriateness of your own child's own choices. Because your child has within them a guidance system that will never let them down. And if you can introduce them to your awareness of the existence of the guidance system at an early age, and you can encourage them to make decisions and see how they feel, now you can trust that your child will always thrive. But if you say to your child, you don't know, I know, and your intuition and guidance cannot be trusted, but mine can, then I must always be with you. And there is disempowerment beyond verbal description in that approach. Okay. Children who are allowed to choose do not become rebellious. Children who are allowed to choose do not feel limited. They don't feel squelched. So then they don't backlash out in quantum leap form. That's what rebellion is. It's that quantum leap. It is the constant repressing, little by little, of what they really want until they either reach the breaking point where they cannot be contained, so they run away or they lash out in some dramatic way, or they actually get whipped into the submission and then don't allow themselves, they don't trust themselves, they don't feel worthy. So we would offer another word right along with it. We would say, perhaps the true role of parenting is self-empowerment of the child. And if you never lose sight of that, isn't that what true parenting is? It is bringing a child to self-sufficiency. Yes.
Yes. Thank you.
Indeed. Yes, indeed.
I have two daughters. I have a 6-year-old and a 10-year-old. And the 10-year-old daughter is really my greatest challenge. What happens between us is she has an ability to be extraordinarily nasty and rude and unpleasant and mean. And the moment she brings even that expression or the tone of her voice comes out of her body, I go into activation, and I'm bigger than her. So my nastiness and my meanness and where I can go to is just unbelievable. So we really are locked into this very uncomfortable pattern with each other. My husband stands back in wisdom and watches this and tries to, you know, neutralize it and coach, but he can't even approach it because we get this, you know, ball of energy built so big between us. You know, there's a maturity in me that says, you've got to be the one to let go and create a different space so this can shift. Yet I get lost, and I can't find the place in that moment to be the one that releases and backs off. So we just
But we don't think that that's the moment to try to do that. Once that ball, as you speak, is there, it's going to have its way with you, so to speak. In other words, you're already there. But it is at other times like this that you can find your place and then begin again. Something that helps in a situation like this is by acknowledging that as she is in this place of pushing your button, she is already in a place of pain herself. Can you give us an example of what might set her off into that before she comes to you? What is it that is already causing her disconnection before she jumps in the middle of your experience and enhances your disconnection? Where is it beginning? Can you find it?
I don't know if it's all the way yet, but since our youngest one was born, who's now 6, who comes into my physical presence and all of me really easily. She's soft and sensual and joyous and a bubble. And energetically, I feel that my older daughter, since the younger one was born, felt that and pulled back and is really looking for that ease with me, that complete acceptance where, you know, I can just scoop her up.
So it's interesting, isn't it, how she wants something that she saw someone else get. And even at that early age, she believed in shortage of whatever it was. And she believed that because her new little one was getting it, that there would not be enough for her. And even though that wasn't true, especially then, in other words, that really wasn't true, there was a sort of natural belief in shortage that came almost from this feeling of competition. The reason that we wanted to hear that from you is because it's not so unlike what's going on in your larger landscape today, where humans are believing in shortage and fighting over pieces of land and experiences and things like that. It's a sort of basic human misunderstanding that there is not enough to go around. And isn't it an interesting thing how it doesn't matter how you got there. In fact, we would really not recommend trying to go back too far to figure out what started it. Because at any point, you're standing in a place where the experience that you're living is focusing a desire that can now be answered. So you don't have to go back and find the beginning of it. Mm-hmm. But isn't it an interesting thing that from her exposure to experience, she concluded that something that she wanted very much, which was your love and appreciation and approval and attention, that now that somebody else was in the house, and from her exposure to what happened then, she came to an almost immediate conclusion that there wasn't going to be enough for her. And because it was something that she really, really, really wanted, in other words, if she didn't want that and somebody else was getting it, she'd say, who cares? I didn't want it anyway. But the fact that she feels such loss at her perceived not having what she is wanting is an indicator of the power of her wanting for it. And isn't it interesting how she wants it so much that she is so unhappy that she doesn't get it, that the very unhappiness that she exudes pushes it further away? And isn't it the perfect example of law of attraction? And wouldn't it be a lovely thing for two teachers to come together and remind each other of such a thing, you see? You said something important as you say, well, on some level I recognize I'm the big one and I'm probably the one that's going to do it. And we say, you are the one who is consciously aware that there is no shortage. You are the one who is consciously aware that you will soothe her back into her connection, not punish her or blame her back into her connection. So we think that if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would just stand right where we are and we would hear her request. In other words, she is begging from every fiber of her being for more of your loving attention. But she's not in the mode of allowing it. So she's asking for something that the universe is yielding because, oh, the desire to love her is powerfully within you. We can feel it. So it's bottled up in you, sort of like it's bottled up in her, but it's very powerfully there. So she's not letting it in. And so your work is to help her to let it in. And the way you help her to let it in is by being more playful with her, not letting her get to you. In other words, for just 1 week, think of yourself as having one goal relative to her, and that is an eternally willing, yielding soother. In other words, you're just going to soothe her, soothe her, soothe her, soothe her, soothe her. Because what happens, there are a lot of parents that would say, oh, well, that's just what she wants. She's demanding attention, and if I give her attention, all I'm doing is teaching her that she can be more demanding. And won't she just get more and more and more out of control? And we say, think in terms of what's wrong. She's disconnected from who she really is. And think in terms of what the remedy is to get her back connected to who she really is. And how would you get anybody back connected with who they are? Would you scold them or punish them or yell at them? Or would you smile at them and love them and make cookies with them and soothe them and lick their face and adore them? In other words, just bombard her with an avalanche of joyous appreciation of that which she is. Now, if you wait until an outburst, you won't be able to find that place. You're finding it easily here as we're having this chat. So what we would encourage you to do is when she's not there with you, the first opportunity you get next time that you're apart while she's at school or whatever, make a short list of things that you really appreciate about her and practice expressing it as if you were expressing it to her. Now, we know this is easy for you. We know there are a lot of things like that. What this will do is it will cause you to sort of get a head start on the vibration before she even comes into your space. It will not mean that she will come into your space all fixed or even better. Mm-hmm. What it will mean for the first week or two is that you will be better prepared when she comes into your space. So don't expect your work to make her immediately better. She probably won't change much at all. No. All it will do is give you a more stable footing as she comes into your experience. So you'll begin noticing that you're not so bothered by her discord. And within a few days of that, you will begin to realize that you are in a position where you can offer some soothing. Mm-hmm. It's like the buildings come down in New York, but only a handful of them did, and only in an isolated area. And so the resources of the city are all there to assist, where if all of the buildings had come down, there would not be so many resources in the city, but there would be other cities to assist. But if all of the buildings had come down in all of the cities, and of course it's never like that. And so what we're wanting you to realize is you're wanting not to be one of the buildings that's come down. Mm-hmm. You're wanting to make sure that you're in a powerful footing, and then when she crumbles into your experience, you'll be there to assist with that same loving, caring nature that anybody does when somebody else needs a hand up, you mm-hmm. see. Mm-hmm. And you don't feel weak because she's there, and you don't feel like she's weak because she's there. You just say, things happen. Things sneak up on us. Things manifest that we didn't recognize in our vibrational nature. This is all part of us discovering who we are, you see. Mm-hmm. The most powerful thing that you're discovering is that this little one wants connection to source energy more than life itself and cannot tolerate the disconnection. In other words, when someone behaves in that way, in that exaggerated discord at not being connected, it's really much more good news than it is bad news, because it means connection really, 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 really matters. Mm-hmm. So it will be easy once you begin to guide her toward the connection, and easier subsequently in weeks to follow to bring her back to it again and again and again. Mm-hmm. Just for a moment, put yourself just mentally, just for fun and lightly. Mm-hmm. Think of yourself as being God, who loves all people, and think about them pushing against each other, believing that, no, God belongs to me. No, God belongs to me. Using their feeling of shortage of God as what is at the root of their religious conflict, which causes them, in other words, or shortage of land, or shortage of godly monuments, or in other words, it goes on and on and on, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. And realize that something not different from that is happening here, where your 10-year-old is believing that there is shortage of you, which is standing in that same place. And now try to be like you have come to know that what man is calling God must surely be, a lover of all. And then think of ways that you might convey and the importance of conveying. How old was she when you met her?
She's one who my husband and I channeled for several times before she actually physically arrived in her body. So of the two, she's one that I've had, you know, a very long relationship with before coming here. And it has incredible depth and richness to it.
And what were you asking for as you summoned her forth? Do you remember?
I don't know. There's not so many words. Love.
The reason that we're asking is because as you were channeling her, what kinds of conversations were you having?
Predominantly at the time, I recall we were letting her know that the time was not right, because she would come in and I wasn't ready for that. You know, that it seemed I wasn't ready, so I made another choice. And I think that happened three times. So it seemed like a lot of the communication was, we love you, we cherish you. There was, my upbringing said that you didn't do this, you didn't have a child with the man until you were married. So there were all sorts of signals that I was responding to. So a lot of the communication at that time was one of, you know, loving and embracing, but not yet please don't come now, not ready yet, wanting you, loving you, but this isn't the right time, don't come yet, wanting you, loving you, you know, could you please wait, not yet, wanting you, loving you, not yet.
And so now what do you think? Is it time? We can feel that that's part of that reluctance just a little bit. You can feel that pretty well, can't you? Now, it wasn't your job to orchestrate that, and you couldn't orchestrate it anyway, that it's fine to say that that's the way you want it, but you were not holding anyone back. Everything was unfolding perfectly, and that her coming forth came in the perfect time. She comes in response to so many of the things that you were asking for. You were all powerful teachers wanting to have this experience together, you see. If we were in your shoes, we would have some conversations with her these days that go like, oh, you know, I remember when you were born. Now, what was that like?
Intense. It was planned to be natural with midwives, and the intensity of the labor and the contractions, even though everyone from the outside looking in saw perfect peace, me in meditation, perfect control, I was breaking up inside. And we ended up having an emergency cesarean where her father wasn't even prepped to be present, and I was knocked out. So neither of us were really there in that moment of her emerging into the physical world.
That's why we say you don't have to go back and figure out where you came. All you have to do is stand where you stand and say, now what do I want? And so what we were beginning to say is that we think if you could find a way to convey to her this, because we know you feel it, and we think as we express the words, you'll feel it even more powerfully, and that is, while you were a long time in getting here, in fact, much longer than I think any of us will realize, my enthusiasm for you once you arrived was incredible. And we want you to go back and find that place. In other words, once the surgery was over and once you had the baby, in other words, describe to us those early feelings.
Again, hard for words, but I would describe it by what people would see, close people to me. When I would look at her, it was so, my love for her, tears would stream down my face.
All right, now this is what you're wanting to say to her today. In other words, if we were standing in your physical shoes, we would go back and talk to her about the time that you were with her before the next little one came along. And we would talk to her about the intensity with which you wanted her to come forth and how you wanted her and looked forward to her so long before she actually got there. And while it was a little hard going and you're not wanting to make a big deal out of that, say to her, all mothers want to talk about labor and all of that stuff, but just say to her, I was so, 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 so happy to see you. And then begin to describing to her. Watch for opportunity. Begin to describe to her about how little she was and how fun it was to wrap her in your arms and how delicious it felt and how you felt feelings holding her that you didn't even know that you were capable of feeling. And that was how it like opened a whole new part of you and you became so much more. And how every day, then and now, you are grateful that she has come into your experience. And how you just cannot imagine stepping back into the place before that. And you are so knowing what an important part of your life she is and will always be, and how you are so grateful that you have rendezvoused together and that you get to share all of this experience together, and how delicious it is and how much fun it's going to be, and how in the same way that you could hardly wait for her to get here, you can hardly wait for her to grow up, and you can't wait for her to fall in love, and you're so looking forward to all the fun things that she's going to do, and how satisfying it is for you to get to share in those aspects of her life, and how exhilarating it is to be her mother, and how proud of her you are, and how thankful that you are that she came to you, and how much you want to thank you, how I want to thank you. I want to thank you for coming to me and being with me and playing with me and teaching me and learning from me and growing with me. You get a sense of it? And oh, it feels as good to you as it does to her, in other words, as you express it. And you'll be practicing this on your own, and as you practice it, she'll be getting it vibrationally. Elsie, little cat, laid over there on the porch and received more fully what Jerry was talking about than Esther did, and Esther heard every word. In other words, the cat got in the spirit of it. The cat felt the fullness of it. The cat was in vibrational sync with it. In other words, the words are inconsequential. And so your little one will pick up on you vibrationally, even when she cannot hear your words. And before you know it, this will be the dominant way that you feel. This is the tone of who you are. This is the relationship that you all had together. Mm-hmm. And we think that the reluctance in the beginning is behind you.
To learn more about Abraham, visit HayHouse.com to find the books, The Law of Attraction, and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.
There can be joy in your life.
Any problem can be resolved with a spiritual solution.
The angels want you to hear them.
You're listening to HayHouseRadio.com. Radio for your soul.
And now, more words of wisdom from Hay House founder and the author of You Can Heal Your Life, Louise Hay.
One of the great things is that we do not have to know how. All we need is willingness. The universal intelligence, or your subconscious mind, will figure out the hows. Every thought you think and every word you speak is being responded to, and the point of power is in this moment. The thoughts you are thinking and the words you are declaring at this moment are creating your future. Your mind is a tool. You are much more than your mind. You may think your mind runs the show, but that is only because you have trained your mind to think in this way. You can also untrain and retrain this tool of yours. Your mind is a tool for you to use in any way you wish. The way you now use your mind is only a habit, and any habit can be changed if we want to do so. Quiet the chatter of your mind for a moment and really think about this concept. Your mind is a tool you can choose to use any way you wish. The thoughts you choose to think create the experiences you have. If you believe that it is hard or difficult to change a habit or a thought, then your choice of this thought will make it true for you. If you would choose to think, it's becoming easier for me to make changes, then your choice of this thought will make that true for you.
That was Louise Hay in this HayHouseRadio.com inspirational moment.
Join Doreen Virtue for Angel Therapy.
I have no words in the English language to describe the amount of love that they're conveying to me to show you. But what they said to tell you is that they love you unconditionally. They love you beyond all human forms of judgment. And they love you deep into your heart and your soul forever and ever for who you are.
Wednesdays, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on HayHouseRadio.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, the network director of HayHouseRadio.com, and my goal has been to offer you a different kind of talk radio, to give you shows to make you feel good, feel inspired, and give you tools to live a better life. We share your pursuit of self-empowerment and self-development here, whether you want to enhance your spirituality or discover new perspectives about life. So thank you for joining us.
You've seen them on Oprah, now see them live. Join heart surgeon Dr. Mehmet Oz, medical internist Dr. Michael Roizen, and a panel of experts at a powerful new all-day workshop. It's all about you. Be the world expert on your body. You'll learn powerful insights on what makes your body tick, how to lose weight naturally, and more. Five-city tour starts July 7th. Visit HayHouseEvents.com for details.
Would you
like to give a gift from the heart and soul? Shop the online store, www.johnholland.com, for the perfect gift for yourself or someone special. You'll find all of John's latest book releases, as well as unique gifts to help create your own personal spiritual sanctuary. Check out limited edition prints, nightlights, incense, and more. Also, all the latest information about John's upcoming workshops to help you continue your personal growth. Log on today, www.johnholland.com.
How would you like a guidebook for aligning yourself with the universe and living a simple and balanced life? Dr. Wayne W. Dyer has spent the last year working on this manual on the art of living, and he'll share some of its most valuable lessons this October during a life-changing weekend intensive workshop in Maui. Wayne's groundbreaking message of balance, perspective, and the greater good will forever change the way you look at your life. See Wayne Dyer live in Maui on October 26th through the 28th. Visit www.drwaynedyer.com for details.